Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, these are just two small verses, and they don't seem to be all that significant, but there's something very important in them, and I want you to see what that is. Because it's going to talk to you about something called things to come. Things to come. But you'll be surprised what those things are, see? So let's read the text. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. See, it's just pretty plain on the surface. But it's that thing right there that he says, things to come, that is a little bit uncertain because when you first read it, because the stuff that's in verse 16 is Old Testament stuff. So Paul really shows us something here that sets apart the New Testament church from anything that ever happened before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and from anything that will happen following the rapture. That time period, that is, between the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture, that time period right there, is the time period of the body of Christ that is mentioned in verse 17. Notice what he says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So the time period of the body of Christ is between the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and the rapture. Now, in this text, he talks about things to come, and these things are meats and drinks and holy days and new moons and Sabbath days. But if you know your Bible, you know that these things are covered under the Old Testament law. So why would he say that these are things to come if we know they're things that have already been here? And then when he makes the contrast between those things that have already been here, he makes the contrast between them and the body of Christ when he says, but the body is of Christ. But why would he make the comparison between these Old Testament things to come and the body of Christ? Well, the answer can be found in the study of your Bible. So, to make things easy, we will see, first of all, where meats, drinks, holy days, new moons, and Sabbath days originated in the Old Testament. Then, the second thing we're going to do is we're going to see how these things are handled by New Testament Christians, that is, people in the body of Christ. And then thirdly, or finally, we will examine these things in the light of, as Paul says, things to come. All right, so first of all, let's review the Old Testament origin of meat, drink, holy day, new moon, and Sabbath days. For meat in the Old Testament. Now, there's two things to consider here when you're looking at meat in the Old Testament. One thing you can look at is you can look at Leviticus chapter 11. And in Leviticus chapter 11, there are forbidden meats to a Jew in the Old Testament. The whole chapter, Leviticus 11, is about that. It talks about beasts beginning in verse 2 and runs down through things like camels and hares and pigs and cows and goats and lambs and things like that. And then in verse 9 begins things dealing with fish like shrimp and catfish and things like that that are forbidden. And then the fowls are covered, eagles and osprey and ossifrage and vulture and kite and raven and things like that. Cuckoo and owl and so forth are covered. And then he gets on to the bugs, grasshoppers and beetles and locusts and things. You know, locusts like John the Baptist ate. And some of those things are clean and okay to eat. And some of those things are not clean. And they're not okay to eat. But those things are covered there, and they're what you can and cannot eat is figured in Leviticus chapter 11. But there's also something else concerning meat in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 18. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 18, you'll see something that is a constant theme in the Old Testament. You'll hear about this on numbers of occasions. He says in Leviticus 23:18, "Ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord," watch it, "with their meat offering." So meat, and this meat was a meal, like cornmeal, and it was a meat offering, or flour, something like that, okay? So the meat offering was specified. Depending on the size of the animal, you offered more meal or more meat with the offering. All right, then the next thing that was covered in our list here in Colossians chapter 3 was drink. And again, you're in Leviticus 23:18, so we'll just make it simple and continue on with that verse. And he says, "And their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord." So under the law, there were meat offerings and there were drink offerings. Now the drink offerings were measured in a hin. They were wine. And again, depending on the size of the animal, that would go anywhere from a quarter of a hin up to a half of a hin of wine for the size of the animal that was being offered. So there were meat offerings and there were drink offerings, and those were all specified in the Old Testament connected with the law. All right, then the next thing he mentions in our list here in Colossians chapter 3 is the Holy Day. The Holy Day. Now, there were a number of these. We'll look at some, but there were a number of them, and they basically concerned the feasts. Like you had the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Passover Feast. And certain of those days were days of holy convocation. Or in some cases, they were even called Sabbath days that are connected with those feasts. And there were certain things that men couldn't do. They couldn't do what was called any servile work in those days. They didn't even work their animals in those days. They were holy days. Holy days. Now, let's look in Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10 and look at verse 31. And this is just one verse. There are a number of them in the Old Testament. This is just one verse that mentions the word holy day, so that you'll know there was some special time that was set aside and they weren't supposed to do certain things. All right, Nehemiah chapter 10, look at verse 31. "And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day," something different than the Sabbath, "and that we would leave the seventh year and take the exaction of every debt." So he's reestablishing parts of the law, Nehemiah is, and they're putting themselves under various things that they agree they'll do. Okay, so that takes care of the holy day. And then what we're going to look at is the new moon. That's the next thing in our list in Colossians chapter 3. He said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, respect him in holy day, or of the new moon." Now we'll look at a couple of verses here and notice what the new moon is. It is the beginning of the month. Numbers chapter 28, look at verse 11. Numbers chapter 28 and look at verse 11. "And in the beginnings of your months," see that, "in the beginnings of your months, ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord." And he goes on and tells you what that offering is. Now, if you have a Bible with cross references or center references in the margin or something like that, you'll notice that one of the references to "in the beginnings of your months" is a reference to 1 Samuel chapter 20. And verse 5. So turn there, 1 Samuel chapter 20, at verse 5, and notice what this beginning of the months is. It's a special observance. It's called the new moon. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 5, "David said unto Jonathan, Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even." All right, so the new moon is the beginning of the month. And that was a time when David was supposed to be there with, you know, the family in that particular observance. And then finally, in our list of Old Testament things, we find the Sabbath. And of course, that's something that was instituted in the law given to Moses. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day," what? "To keep it holy." Now, some people have alleged that actually the Sabbath began with creation and it was the seventh day. Of course, Moses is the one that wrote Genesis and he called it a Sabbath of rest or a Sabbath day. But by that time, he had already been given the law by the Lord God. And we have learned by studying our Bible that the Sabbath is something that was not known to men until it was given to Moses. And we learn that from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14. 13 shows the law being given in Mount Sinai. Verse 14 said, "Made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant." So until Moses, there was nobody that was observing any Sabbath. They didn't know anything about it. Moses wrote Genesis chapter 2 and showed you the Sabbath of rest that the Lord took. But not until he was given the Sabbath, the holy Sabbath, the seventh day, as an observance of the law. And that's found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14, in case you're curious. So we see these things then that are listed in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 16, are really Old Testament things. So it's amazing that Paul would say, which are a shadow of things to come, when in fact we know these are things that have already been. But we have an interim period here. We've looked at what's in the Old Testament. The interim period is what he says is the body of Christ, but the body is of Christ. And that's the New Testament. That's the period in which we are right now. It's the period of the church. And of course, there are certain things said about meat and drink and holy days and Sabbath days. Nothing said about the new moon, but there is about these others. Let's go to Romans chapter 14, because that's a really good place for us to look at this information. And notice, first of all, what the New Testament has to say about meat. About meat. Romans chapter 14, and look at verse 17. You see, when you got saved, and you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, you actually entered the kingdom of God. You see, when the Pharisees were questioning Jesus Christ about the kingdom of God, he told them that that particular kingdom didn't come with observation. He said to them, when the Pharisees demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So you enter the kingdom of God, when you're saved, and it doesn't come with observation, it is within you, and that particular kingdom is not a kingdom of meat and drink. Look at Romans chapter 14 at verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and notice what he says. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Uh-oh. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when Paul says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink," it's because your kingdom is not a kingdom of meat and drink like it was in the Old Testament. It's a spiritual kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now you know that there's been a change. Look, for instance, in Acts chapter 10 concerning meat. You remember how we looked in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 11 that people like Peter, who was a Jew, could not eat certain particular meat? Well, look what God does in Acts chapter 10, for instance, when Peter got hungry up on the housetop. Acts chapter 10, verse 11, he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit together at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." He's talking about Leviticus 11. The voice spake unto him again the second time and said, "What God hath cleansed that, call not thou common." So boy, there sure has been a change here, because that's a direct violation of what? That's a direct violation of the law. That's a direct violation of Leviticus chapter 11. But Paul said here clearly, don't let any man judge you in what you eat and in your meat, because there has been a change. You see, in the New Testament, we have the benefit. I'm not recommending that you eat certain things that may not be good for you, but whatever God laid down in the law that said there were certain things you couldn't do, we know that in the New Testament, in fact, there are things that you can eat that couldn't be eaten back then. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, show you that about abstaining from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So you're dealing here in a different situation altogether. Once you're in the body of Christ, man, things have really changed. As far as meat is concerned, you can violate Leviticus chapter 11 if your conscience will allow you. And if by eating that you don't cause a brother to stumble, you see, you're in Romans chapter 14 a minute ago. Turn back over there concerning meat. And notice that the thing that governs whether you eat it or not is not the law. It's the basically the conscience of the person that's watching you or observing you eat it. Look in Romans 14, verse 21. He said, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. So you got a whole different deal here. Now all of a sudden you're not under the law. It's just good courtesy and out of love for other people that you would keep them from stumbling or being offended or made weak by what you put in your mouth. So there covers your meat and drink. It's a totally different deal. Concerning holy days, we'll look back again in Romans chapter 14 at verse 5. Look at the liberty that you have in Christ. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Well, there certainly has been a change in the body of Christ. All of a sudden, some things have desperately changed. And then concerning the Sabbath, well, you're in Romans chapter 14. Look at Romans chapter 13. And notice that certain of the laws of the Old Testament are repeated in verse 9. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, covet, and so forth and so on. Guess what's missing? Sabbath. You know why? Because in the New Testament, they don't worship God in a corporate worship on the Sabbath day like they did in the Old Testament. They begin to worship the Lord on the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, both show you on the first day of the week they got together and they heard preaching and they had a collection and eventually broke some bread, the whole thing. It's just different. So when you're in the body of Christ, then all of a sudden there are lots of differences than there were in the Old Testament concerning these things. So when Paul is talking to the Colossians, he said, don't let any man judge you in those doctrines, meat, drink, holy day, new moon, Sabbath days. The reason is we are not judged by the law. And we know that because just yesterday when we did the lesson, we dealt with verse 14, Christ wiped out the law. He took it out of the way. He knocked it out in verse 14. Literally blotting it out, taking it out of the way, and nailing it to his cross is what Paul said. So he's not judged by the law, neither are you judged by another individual. Look at Romans chapter 14. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Nobody can lay down the law for you where the law is unclear for a New Testament Christian. Look what he says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, in the New Testament, all of a sudden, I'm not judged by you and I'm not judged by the law. You know what I'm judged by? I'm judged by faith. Verse 23 of Romans chapter 14 says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that's all coming up at the judgment seat of Christ. So the New Testament, when you're in the body of Christ, is a totally different deal from the Old Testament. As you can see from the verses we've just looked at, there's a drastic change. I'm not judged by an individual. I'm not judged by the law. I'm judged simply by faith. I'm saved by faith. I'm judged by faith. It all comes up at the judgment seat of Christ. But now here's the real kicker. Here's the twist in the whole thing. We certainly see the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We certainly see the difference by entering the kingdom of God, which is something nobody in the Old Testament ever did. Nobody in the Old Testament was born again. Nobody was baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ in the Old Testament. And so consequently, there was a drastic change between being under the law and then being out from under that thing once we went into the body of Christ. But, Paul does say, which are a shadow of things to come. Now, what in the world is that? Well, you know, there's only so much Bible written. It's never going to be any more written. It's all written that's going to be written, and yet lots of things that the Bible addresses have not happened yet. In Revelation, for instance, The destruction of the devil in the lake of fire has not happened yet. The chaining of the devil for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit has not happened yet. Likewise, there are many things spoken of in the Old Testament that have not happened yet. I've never counted these myself, but I've been told, and I believe it's so, that there are at least 500 references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And it hasn't even happened yet. So maybe then by going to the Old Testament, we can actually find out some things to come that are actually in the Old Testament before the body of Christ. Well, let's look and see if that's not so. If you'll study your Bible very carefully, you'll find out that there's going to be a temple constructed in the future, and that temple is described in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, and a lot of things about that. For instance, concerning meat in the things to come, look in Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 17. This isn't something that has happened yet. This is something that is still to come, and you know it because if you look at the dimensions of the temple, they do not match Solomon's temple. They do not match the temple that was here in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not match the temple that will be here during the tribulation. They are the millennial temple. They are the ones that are coming up. Not here yet. Never been here. Ezekiel chapter 45, look at verse 17. And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons, and in the Sabbaths, in all solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, the meat offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering, to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, in the first month, in the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish, and cleanse the sanctuary, and so forth and so on. Notice, in verse 17, he mentions the meat offerings. He mentions the drink. He mentions the new moons. He mentions the Sabbath. In Ezekiel 45, verse 21, notice how he mentions the holy day. Ezekiel 45, 21, in the first month, in the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover. That's a holy day. In verse 25 of Ezekiel chapter 45, notice, in the seventh month, in the 15th day of the month, shall he do the like in the feast of the 7 days. Do you know what feast it is that takes place in the seventh month on the 15th day of the month? Do you? It's the Feast of Tabernacles, if you'll go back and study when that was given to Moses. So all of a sudden you realize that from Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, we have something that hasn't happened yet concerning meat and drink and holy day, new moons. Look at the new moon again in Ezekiel 46 at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. But on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon, it shows up again in verse 6, and in the day of the new moon. What about the Sabbath? Well, look in Ezekiel 46, verse 1, 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 4, the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Lord in the Sabbath day, shows up again in verse 12. It shows up in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23, certainly concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his millennial reign, right in the middle of that chapter in verse 23, Isaiah 66, verse 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. It's all there. So people have the idea that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, they have the idea that he destroyed the law. But that is not true. We know that now because of what we've seen here in Colossians chapter 2. He blotted it out, which is like to cover it up. He took it out of the way for us. He nailed it to the cross, but he didn't destroy it. And he couldn't have destroyed it because of what Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he said very, very explicitly, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." That's Matthew 5:17. In fact, he went on to say in verse 18, "For verily I say unto thee, till heaven and earth pass," which they have not done yet. They're not going to do it until Revelation chapter 20. "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Therefore, since we still have the heaven and earth, then not one jot or one tittle is passed from the law, Therefore, the law is still here and will continue to be here until heaven and earth pass away in Revelation chapter 20. Fortunately for you and me who are saved and have been put into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, the law has no effect on us because Christ blotted it out. He took it out of the way. He nailed it to his cross. However, it will have an effect on those in the tribulation. The law will have an effect on those in the tribulation. Look in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 17, the dragon, Antichrist, was wroth with the woman, Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, watch it, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ because they can look back to what he did on the cross. They have the commandments because the body of Christ is gone now, and therefore the law is back in effect. It is a shadow of things to come. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 says essentially the same thing. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Well, you see, that's not a New Testament Christian. That is a tribulation saint. One more time, and this is just classic here. You'll catch this one, and I mean, if you've never seen this before, your heart is going to take a leap and a skip and a jump and a shout right here for the way God has put this precious, precious Bible together. Look in Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse 20. Here are things happening once the image, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, is raised up in the temple. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 20, the Lord tells the people, "Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Wouldn't make a bit of difference to you and me. We're messing around on Saturday, doing more work on Saturday than we do during the week. Or on the Sabbath day, what? "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So during the great tribulation, the Jews are back up under the Sabbath, just like they were in the Old Testament. Therefore, as long as the body is here, the things of the Old Testament are either in the Old Testament or they're a shadow of things to come. Once the body is gone, boom, they're back in effect just like they were all the way up into and through the millennial reign of Christ, Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48. Now, I'll tell you something. That's a little nugget there for you contained in the book of Colossians.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.